Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Podcast 653, we just rolled into Sturgis 2017. I'm going to tell you where I am, but I got to, right now we're just sitting here charging up the batteries, so I'm going to shut down mobile podcast command, and we're going to do a little travelogue about how I got here to Sturgis and just clear the decks and table all of the other key issues so we can have a good time here at Sturgis 2017. All right, let's get this thing shut down. Yeah, so anyway, as I get the map, let me just say that I am here for Ciro 3D. This is the great motorcycle parts and accessories company. Yeah, we are here at Sturgis, and I know that Ciro3D.com has been featuring various products that they make for your motorcycle. They featured the pegs, the foot pegs, and the device mounts, which are great. I have two of the device mounts here in Mobile Podcast Command. I have one in the back to hold the phone while it's charging, and I have one in the front to hold the phone. And what's cool about them is they have space at the bottom so you can charge your phone. A lot of these device mounts are closed at the bottom, and you can't plug anything in, your headphones, or, which, by the way, I can't find my headphones. Who knows where they are in this thing, or the charger. So that's what's great. And then last week they were featuring the lighting options, which you'll see in the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. And since I don't know what the feature is, I'm just going to say, let's talk about pipes. Oh, Danny boy, the pipes, they are a calling. Those fabulous pipes for your motorcycle. Check them out, all of them, all the amazing parts and products at Ciro3D.com. Sign up to get the catalog and you can see all the stuff they have. If you're coming out here, Ciro3D will be at the Black Hills Harley dealer. Just look for the big green Ciro3D semi, and you can buy any of the stuff that's in the catalog, pretty much, and have it installed right there in the bays at Ciro3D. I know Errol Rudd, the chief executive of the company, is out there. He'll be working to install stuff, and you can talk to him. I will be there. In fact, I'm here now, but I'm going to head to Rapid City here shortly to meet up with those guys. So thanks again, Ciro3D, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So, yeah, as always, there is a really strong wind out here, so I can't have the mics outside. But I have pulled up into this little city park that is right near where you just come into Sturgis, into the town of Sturgis. They have and actually, it's a beautiful park here with a little stadium and a backdrop of rock. So it's a nice little city park, and there is nobody here. And in the distance, you can hear the rumble of V-twins. And maybe you can hear a little bit about what's going on outside, but I had a choice of sitting down and taking a nap, which I may do here shortly, or just doing a quick podcast because it is Friday, and I just realized it's Friday. So we're going to do a podcast, podcast 653, as I said, live from Sturgis, although this is probably the only part of the whole town right now that is in any way quiet, and it is only about 2 o'clock p.m. on Friday. On a Friday, so it's pretty busy already in Party Town for the next week or so. We are going to be, as I mentioned, at the Black Hills Harley dealer, which is about 20 miles from here, down 90. So I'm going to leave Sturgis, which is always a little crazy, and then I'm going to the Black Hills Harley. And I'll be there with Ciro3D, as I mentioned, and that'll be fun. So, yeah, every time I come to one of these things, I gotta kind of reconnect with the fun and excitement about what's going on here. The last podcast I did was from the air show, purposefully, because I knew I was going to be leaving for Sturgis in 2 or 3 days, so I just parked the truck in the garage with everything in it and decided to wait to do another podcast, and that's what I'm doing in this podcast. Now, very quickly, just so there's a little travelogue in this podcast, and it isn't just me going on and on about stuff, I want to just give you guys a quick sort of travelogue about how I got here. Now, if you want to come to Sturgis, a lot of people just drive out, 90, and I guess they drive down 35 south till they get to 90 if they're leaving the Twin Cities, and they ride out 90. Or you come on, what I call freeways, but expressways, interstate. And I decided, first of all, my whole trip now that I've been on for the last three trips I've taken up to and including the sort of the mega trip that I took in the spring is to stay off the interstate completely. So I have not been on an interstate the entire trip. This trip, I was not on an interstate the entire trip over to Oshkosh. And for most of the trip out east, for the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast's birthday, 95th birthday, that trip I spent almost the entire time on back roads. And that one was the one that took me through Missouri storm chasing, then to Oklahoma. And the only time I was in the interstate is when I went north to Kansas to meet my son. Then I immediately got off the interstate and then went all the way through Arkansas and points east all the way up to Virginia and then came back through Ohio on back roads. So we're talking about state roads. We're talking about what's left of the national highway system, et cetera. So that's et cetera, however you say it. So that is my big trip now is driving on back roads. And I find, I haven't decided yet whether it's faster. I think sometimes it is faster depending on where you're going because the thing about the interstates is that they're kind of at direct angles, so you kind of have to go out of your way. Whereas when you're on state and the old national highway system, you can angle up and you can take county roads and things like that. If you use a map, I find more and more young people are like, a map? What's a map? Well, it's this thing. And this is a very dog-eared Rand McNally Atlas from, I don't even know if I still have the cover on the thing, from 2014. So it's relatively current. You can't see it, but that plastic sort of backing is now gone and it's just falling apart because I've used it so much. But it's a thing called a map. You sit and you look at a map and you orient yourself to north, south, east, and west. And you look at the town that you're in and you figure out where you are and you figure out how to get there using back roads. And there's a couple of reasons that I have for doing this, and I don't want to take too much of a sidetrack, but one of them is that I fully intend in 2020 to cover the presidential campaign in long form. My objective, and I don't know if I'm going to meet it or not, is to pretty much get out on the road covering the campaign starting in February as I did last year in present time frame. So in 2016. So in February of 2016, I hit the road. I certainly covered some of the early campaign announcements in June. I hit the road in February of 2016 to cover the Iowa caucuses and then spent the next 2 months kind of on the road going to these political events in the South Carolina primary and the Iowa primary, then on down to Florida and so forth. But once I broke out of the South Carolina primary thing, I pretty much was just touring, and that was if you listen to this podcast, you'll hear that was kind of an odd, weird, discombobulated trip because I've learned since then, people ask me all the time for travel advice. You got to have an objective, and I learned with that trip, you have to have plenty of objectives. So what I want to do in 2020 is go out, basically sell everything, upgrade this thing or get an RV, basically, and live in the RV and stay out pretty much through the whole campaign because I think the 2020 campaign is going to be very, very interesting in this country. We'll see if that is planned. But one of the reasons for doing all this back road stuff is, and through all these different states, especially around the Midwest, is to get an idea of the roads, get an idea of how to get from point A to point B quickly, especially in Iowa and Missouri and South Carolina and North Carolina and Virginia and places like that, Arkansas, and figure out and see the shape of those roads and what kind of shape they might be in February and March.
And the one place that I haven't been is New England. So there will be a New England trip at some point. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do one this year or not, just because of money issues in terms of things are tight. So, you know, this thing costs money to run. And of course, I do appreciate the contributions, but it's going to take a lot of contributions for a super long trip to New England when all I want to do is go west. So the back roads thing is strategic as well as just, this is going to sound weird. I just can't take the interstate anymore. It's so boring. People can't drive. When you're out on the back roads, especially in places like North and South Dakota, Missouri, Iowa, the Midwest in general, or West like Montana, Colorado, you will often not see a car for hours. I came across a 212 in South Dakota today, and I'm going to tell you all about that in a second. And there was no one on the road for a long time. Like I know there are other cars out there. If I pulled over, it would have taken a few minutes for them to pass, but there's this sense of isolation, and it's amazing and great. And it's the only way to travel as far as I'm concerned, because you're super relaxed. I got to grab my coffee over here. Hang on. You're super relaxed and you just don't care because you're just driving and having a good time. You don't think about if somebody's going to pass you or they're trying to pass or anything like that. Plus, you get to see how people actually live because you're driving in, right through towns. And if you want to pull into more than one town, and I'll tell you about those in a second. More than one town. I pulled into the business district or went around the block and checked out the houses. And it's so interesting, especially in places like South Dakota, especially in really rural parts of the country where, I hate to say there's nothing there because that's not really fair. There are, very prosperous and very busy working ranches and farms in all these places, whether it's Arkansas or Missouri or South or North Dakota or Iowa. So the idea that you're in the middle of nowhere is prejudicial to people who are farmers because, they live there and there are people there and there are things going on. And it's just interesting to me to see how things are laid out depending on what state you're talking about and how populated a particular place is. I mean, there's towns, especially here in South Dakota, of 200 or 300 people, and there's nothing around them. There's no other town, I should say, around them. And there certainly is no Walmart even. The bigger towns have a DQ and a Taco John's, but that's pretty much it. The other thing I should say is that I prefer to eat in cafes and things like that and not go to the chain restaurants unless I absolutely have to. But there certainly are no Starbucks in places like Redfield, South Dakota. So this is the route that I took. I just want everybody to know. And if you're coming out here to, if you're going to ride out here this week for Sturgis, I highly recommend this road. If you're doing a ride, it's a long one. I mean, this is a long ride, and I had to stop for the night. So this isn't a one-day trip. This is a long thing. But if you're coming from the Twin Cities, or if you're coming from some other place, you got to get to the Twin Cities if you want to take this, because you have to connect with 212. Now, for me, that was just a matter of going down 100 south to 62 to 212. And once you're on 212 in Minnesota, it's US 212. You just stay on 212 all the way through. So from Minnesota, I got to tell you some of the towns I came through in Minnesota. So I'm going to have to turn to that page. But I'm going to have to mark. This is a big atlas. It's hard to... Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, I came through, all the way through Young America, Glencoe, Bird Island, which is an interesting place, Olivia. These are some of, you know, Minnesota's classic small towns. And of course, they're 2, 4, and 6, and 10 miles apart. So this is a, this is an older, for lack of a better term, not in terms of U.S. standards, but it's an older, you know, mid to early 1800s, settled in the 1860s, kind of, you know, New Ulm, Montevideo, Dawson, places like that, that were settled in the 1860s, and you know, they're short and close together. I guess my point about that part of Minnesota is that is a very, almost an industrial agricultural area. That is a very busy agricultural area, and those towns are really prosperous by my standards. Now, they're close to the Twin Cities, but, you know, the further out you get, whether it's Dawson, Granite Falls, and so forth on 212, you start to get into some of these really pretty much empty, quote-unquote empty places. So you're on, and it's a straight road. There's really nothing to it. So that's the Minnesota part of 212, and we're going to get to the South Dakota part of 212 as I turn the page. Well, I also have to thank Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for making it possible to be out here for Sturgis. Ryan Plumbing and Heating is all about quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Because when it comes to keeping all these systems operating, you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing that is going to fix it right. A lot of times people try to fix stuff themselves and, you know, it doesn't work. You want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. How do you get a hold of them? The easiest way is ryanplumbing.com, or you can call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Click on that banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. It takes you to ryanplumbing.com. Again, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And they do great emergency service. So think of this as a little bit of sticker that you put on your water heater. When something goes wrong, you're like, who do I call? Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 online at ryanplumbing.com. Also got to mention Alpha Systems, the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com. Just came from the air show. Got to see lots of demonstrations of the AOA in Building C, Row C, their Hangar C at EAA. And I have to tell you, I was standing there and was listening to a guy talk to Mark Korn, who's the CEO of Alpha. And he said, you know, the AOA, he was trying to get his friend to buy one because he said the Alpha angle of attack indicator saved my life. It'll save your life too. What is it? It's a visual indicator of the amount of lift your wing is producing, so when you turn on final, you don't dump and crash. That's basically it. And it saves lives. It has saved lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com to learn more about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Once again, click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And I saw a crop duster today, and as it was turning and looping around to spray the field, all I could think about was angle of attack. And it's so funny to bring up Alpha Systems because that plane is flying overhead just right now. And you can hear the V-twins of the motorcycles in the background. Kind of sounds like the air show, even though it isn't the air show. And I should say, when it comes to angle of attack, that crop duster today was pretty cool too. So thanks again, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. So I thought, when you look at the map, you know, you think, oh, 212 all the way through North Dakota, this will take me one day. Well, I left, you know, I want to say it was about 2. I kind of waited. It was raining, and I kind of waited for the rain. And right after you get into North Dakota on 212, You come to Watertown, and there's some other places. Wayne, I think, is the name of one town. Frankfort, Clark. Oh yeah, it was Clark, not Wayne. Clark. So that was where I did a video for YouTube. But here again, this is kind of Minnesota-like here. This is still a pretty closely packed towns. Still, again, agriculture more along the lines of farms, not ranches. So that comes later. But as you get out 212, you know, it starts to spread out and you get to Redfield. It takes you up all the way through Gettysburg, and then you turn the page in the, which in this case is just turning the Atlas over. And then we get to the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe. So this is Lake Oahe, O-H-E. And there is a camp there. I went as far as I could last night. I couldn't go any further. It was about midnight. And I went to the West Whiteside Lake little campground there, and it was fantastic. This is the Missouri River, and it forms into a lake. And, of course, it's historic because this is where Lewis and Clark came through here and everything else. But this whole thing here, the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation here, goes all the way through La Plante and Ridgeview, Eagle Butte and Dupree, all the way out. And you still have to go another 30 or 40 miles. Well, actually, it's another 60 miles from Faith to get to Newell. And then you pick up 79 at Newell and you come right down into Sturgis. That is a very, very short trip, especially if you're, coming here during the big motorcycle rally, because as soon as you get to 79, you're going to start seeing big Harley Davidson and Victory and Indian motorcycles and so forth, big Hondas, V-twins coming down through here. And you can hear those bikes, by the way. That is this deep-throated sort of rumble underneath everything. But I have to say that this is a fabulous drive because it is desolate, mostly ranches. It is beautiful. It sort of gives way, this rolling sort of Minnesota-like country over here, closer to the Minnesota border, kind of gives way to the more South Dakota rolling countryside. And then you kind of get into the hills as you get down by Mud Butte and Faith. And when you finally get to Newell, there is a government experimental farm at Newell, a lot of ranches. And I love this area because it's just on that cusp of getting into the West, because obviously South Dakota borders Montana and Wyoming. So just to the west of here are the mountains and the Custer National Forest, for example, which I may go up on the way back, because if I do, I can just go up 85 and then take 20 over to the Custer National Forest. And I may actually take that and then swing back across 20. And then that actually comes all the way across to 12, and then I can take 12 all the way back into the Twin Cities. It sounds really easy to say it, but it's not. I mean, it's a long trip, and if you're riding, this is going to leave you with an iron ass for sure, because it's a long trip. But if I was riding, I would want to take it, because I think of it as safe in general, because there's not a lot of curves. It's rolling countryside. There certainly aren't a lot of cars. It's going to rain. It rained pretty hard at one point, and I noticed bikers wearing their rain gear. And then you got to figure out where you're going to stay, because there's really, you know, there are some hotels in some of the bigger towns like Redfield and stuff, but you're going to be in state parks, so which would be kind of cool. I stayed in I guess it was a state park. I'm not sure, that Whiteside or whatever it is, Whitehead Lake area last night. It was $22, and it was wonderful. I had a nice little area to drink my coffee in the morning. We couldn't have fires because of it is the West, and of course they're always worried about fire danger and stuff, so couldn't do that. But it's a great trip, and again, all on back roads, which I love. Can't get enough of that. So it's kind of this is going to be a shift from the air show, because we go from high technology to just fun, and people just having fun and doing something they love to do, whether it's fixing their bikes, wrenching their bikes, as I'm now told the term is, or riding for fun, or maybe you have one of the many businesses that is out here trying to sell to motorcyclists. But this is a big shift from the air show, and I have to kind of go through a little bit of a shift. Now, I know that I haven't talked very much political stuff, And I'm certainly still continuing to think about it. I mean, the last podcast I did with the astronauts, I think, says a lot about setting objectives, setting clear objectives with time limits attached to them, and then figuring out how to meet those objectives, and then developing checklists to meet those objectives. There's a lot to be said for that. And there's a lot to be said with the kind of leaders that set objectives and let people in the trenches reach those objectives. I think the hard part for me right now, I have a lot of friends that do talk radio. I have a lot of friends that are still, you know, of the mind, excuse me, or belief that radio has some future, and you know, faith springs eternal on those matters. Certainly, radio is not going to go away. You know, it's just it doesn't have the same impact it once had. But I'll tell you what I don't want to be. I don't want to be put in a position of having to advocate for the president or having to advocate against the president. I find that to be the most distasteful thing about media today. It is the thing that makes getting information ever more difficult every single day. It is the thing that pushes me to want to escape and travel and come to places like this where everybody just wants to talk about motorcycles and fun and the trips they've taken and the way that they got there and road tripping and what it's like to just be on the road all the time, those things. Because the constant advocacy and the constant advocacy journalism and the constant need that people have to remain relevant by taking a position for or against this president is 99% of the problem with politics today. Suffice it to say, there is no real movement behind President Trump. He is and was a rhetorical candidacy with a rhetorical political movement. And I think there are going to be a number of disappointed people. We're certainly seeing the disappointment, at least for the people that wanted to see the Affordable Care Act repealed. There's a knee-jerk reaction to want to blame Congress. I believe that this is the president's failure because of his lack of ability to understand and deal with the legislative process. But more importantly, I think it is because there is no conservative movement in the United States anymore. There are only people who want what they want when they want it. There really is no liberal movement in the United States anymore. There are just people who want what they want when they want it and who engage in the rhetorical political process. That's all it is. And it isn't hooked up to anything. We're still pretty much with the same economic plan that the previous president put in place and the previous Congresses put in place. You know, we're still with relatively the same foreign policy that previous presidents put in place, whether you want to go back to Bush and Clinton or whether you want to talk about Obama. There haven't been significant changes. And so what will create change is probably crises. And I don't want crises, but I have a strong feeling that crisis will come. And when it does, that is what will provoke the change in policy. And that's what I have to say about politics. Now, I could go on and on for 35 minutes about it, but I think that's pretty much it. You know, I see my friends on Facebook and I see my friends in this business, in the talk radio business, who are just feel this tremendous need to remain relevant by taking a position. And I think that's a huge mistake because you're, you know, what's happened to me since I have refused to take a position is I'm starting to evaluate policy based on its merits. And based on what I know about a specific policy and argue a policy idea. In other words, a tax cut plan or a foreign policy plan, as opposed to having to attach a personality to it and then have to defend a personality. Moreover, to have to defend a previous position that you have taken is the worst. Whether you're someone who endorsed an individual to be president, which, as I told you during the campaign, I soured on that rapidly. Because that's what they want. They want early endorsements. They want people who are quote-unquote influential to endorse them, and they don't care a whit about the voters, and they don't care a whit about those who endorse them, as you are seeing the evidence of. So the be-all and end-all of the political situation right now is that it's just a broken record playing over and over and over again with the people who are forced to defend the president no matter what he does, and the people who are forced to attack the president no matter what he does for whatever reason. So when you dip your fingers in that water, when you put your feet in that water, when you swim in that water, you are stuck in that current. As long as you stay out of it, then you can evaluate policy on its merits. And that's what I've done. That's why I was able to say I did not think that an Obamacare repeal would pass. We shall see if still yet another attempt may surface. I doubt that it will in the near future, but we'll see. I think it's going to be after the next congressional cycle in 2018, but you never know. And as far as crisis is concerned, I think that's going to drive policy more than any kind of initiative by a president who is really weak when it comes to dealing with the legislative process. And I think that's the reason that an ACA repeal hasn't passed. And I think it's 90% of the reason why. You know, really, when you look at it on balance, despite what Congressman Emmer says and despite what some other congressmen say, you know, not a lot is really getting done in Washington. So having said that, I will skip to the next thing very quickly. Yes, I am going to go to view the solar eclipse on August 21st. And yes, I am going to do a podcast about all of the YouTube videos and all of the prognosticators regarding the eclipse and what is going to happen with the eclipse and the eclipse energy and all the things that are happening. And yes, Steve, I will be coming to Carbondale if you're listening. My best friend Steve Steiner and I don't know. I think we were in eighth grade. I could be wrong, but it was I think it was the last solar eclipse in the United States that was total. But it happened, or maybe it was just a lunar eclipse that happened during the day. I don't even know. But my friend Steve and I set up this whole thing with a Polaroid camera and a table and a telescope with a special thing on it. And we had cassette recorders and microphones and everything else. And I guess we're going to recreate that in Carbondale, which is the closest point to view the eclipse. But very quickly, there are an awful lot of predictions regarding what is going to happen as the result of this eclipse. And not on the day of the eclipse, but on subsequent weeks and months away from and up to the eclipse. Now, I claim to feel these energies. I feel a sense of intensity. Now, I don't know whether that's just me, but boy, you ought to check out YouTube. Just type in solar eclipse and you are going to see some craziness. And so, yes, I am going to cover the solar eclipse, but maybe the eclipse will produce this this strange crises, which will begin to change things. I don't know. I will say this. The last time, according to astrologists, I'm sorry for those of you that don't believe in this, and I don't, but I just offer it as a fun thing. The last time these aspects existed, and there was a total solar eclipse. As you know, there's a, you know by now that there's a path of the eclipse, and the eclipse path cuts from Lincoln City all the way down to Atlanta, somewhere around Atlanta, Georgia, across the United States, and goes literally right through Washington, D.C. The last time an eclipse of this nature intersected or bisected a capital was the French Revolution, when a total solar eclipse with the same astrological aspects cut through Paris. And shortly thereafter, we had the French Revolution. So keep that in mind as we head towards the eclipse. But we have one last massive party. And what better place than to have the last passive, massive party, the last massive party before the end of the world, before that moment when we had a Walking Dead scenario, which I've been driving through in South Dakota, driving on empty roads, wondering if I'm going to look over in a field and see a zombie. Before the fall. So that is what's coming next on the next few Bob Davis podcasts. So thanks for listening to podcast 653. Once again, thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Great for emergency service. And when they come to do your emergency service, ask them about in-floor heating or updating your bathroom, especially if you have the cash. This is a good time since interest rates are low. If you can get a loan, this is a good time to update the downstairs bathroom or get one of the upstairs bathrooms ready for, you know, grandma to come live with you. Anything like that. Ask them about that. Again, you want reliable service? Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks to you guys for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the stream at thebobdavispodcast.com. That is continuing to grow. Also, iTunes. Love it if you subscribe at iTunes, or also give me a rating and make a comment. Tune in, blogtalkradio.com, and more. And I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favorites and the following, you know, and so forth on Facebook and Twitter. But really, I appreciate the donations for diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 600. What is this? Podcast 653.